Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be bright.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or if you're feeling radio shy, you can feel welcome to email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E at AOL.com. And before I introduce my co-hostess for tonight, I just want to make a quick couple of announcements. First of all, I'm very excited about our upcoming healing weekend that's going to be in Dulles, Virginia. We're going to have some older, our veterans of healing weekends join us, as well as some new people who haven't been to them before. It's a wonderful opportunity to meet other people who are walking your path, where you can unite as one, where you can feel more supported than you ever have in your life, and walk away with new friendship, new bonds. And that's what these healing weekends are about, to let you know that there are so many more of us that go through this struggle. And it is such an isolating situation that sometimes you think it's just me. So these healing weekends unite you with other women. We're going to have some wonderful speakers at our conference. The healing weekend is April 23rd and 24th. If you are interested, please write to me at bonkay@aol.com. I just want to get well wishes to our member Jen, who is coming along in the hospital. We send love and prayers to you, Jen, if you're listening to this broadcast. Also, I want to welcome some new listeners who are listening in, and I know that this is a really rough time of the year. try to give you as much support as possible, either through listening to the radio shows or through hooking you up with Pain Pals or other support, or through my newsletters. Never hesitate to ask. I'm only a click away. Write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll make sure you have the support that you need. Tonight, I have my monthly co-hostess, the energetic, talented, beautiful mother of the groom, Suzette Vernon. Hello, Suzette.
Oh, girl, you're making me sound so good.
You are so good. And since you were last here, you've been to a wedding, right?
Yes, indeed.
Tell us about your son getting married.
Yes,
how did that feel?
Married in November. You know what? Leading up to it, it was bittersweet. One moment, I was happy for him. The next moment, I was like, oh, Lord, this is my only son. I felt like I was giving him away. So I just kind of went through different challenges leading up to it. But that day, nothing but smiles and joy and just a shared sense of us both being so happy that we both understood what love really is. It just was so great to see, after everything that we had been through, to see him marrying a lovely, absolutely lovely young woman, and just happy about it, and then me married to a fantastic man and happy about it. It was beyond anything I could have dreamed, actually.
I know, and I think it's so inspirational to hear this for our women who are right now going through so many doubts in their own life, who haven't been with us for that long, who are just getting tuned into the, you know, Straight Wives Club, and who are suffering through their own misery, to realize that there can be light at the end of the tunnel, correct?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. If you keep moving forward, there is light, a light that's so bright that you almost have to remind yourself of all you've gone through, because it's just so wonderful. You're like, oh, my God, if I had to go through all that to get to this, it was worth it. It was worth it. So,
well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because
I wouldn't quite go that far.
I'm thinking, if I had to get to this, it was worth it. If I didn't have to,
it'd even be worth it more. It'd even be better, right?
I would have preferred it, actually.
Yes, actually, you would have. But it certainly does make you appreciate, you know, that there can be a wonderful start over again in life. Because for those of you who are new and listening to our show, just to give you a brief background, Suzette is not a child. She's a woman who's in her 50s, right?
Yeah, about to be 56.
Yep, she's in her 50s. And, you know, it's been a number of years since her marriage.
Yeah.
And she was really ready to meet somebody. You know, her child was grown. She had done a lot of self-actualization. She got into her own field of coaching. And she was finally ready to meet someone. And it was really a search, right?
Yeah. It was definitely a search, because there was something inside of me that felt like, you know, I can't go out like this. I can't go out with just the only thing that I've experienced, you know, with men being pain, disappointment, frustration, unavailability. I just felt like, especially something about turning 50, something about that caused a shift that made me say, I can't go out like this. I cannot go out like this. And so I started, that was my search. I had to figure it out, do the work, you know, whatever, because I just something inside of me felt like there has to be more to my earth experience.
And you come from a religious background, right?
Oh, yeah. Very.
Very religious background.
Pentecostal.
So it's not like you were real experienced in your past, right?
No, not at all. Very sheltered, you know, like I think I've told you, before that, you know, when it came to sex and all that kind of stuff, my mom left a book and said, if you have questions, ask me.
Would she have answered them for you?
You know what? The way she seemed so uncomfortable with the subject matter, I think I was doing better reading the book. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was that generation, you know, my mother's generation.
Yeah.
They didn't really talk about sex,
mm-mm.
even if they were having it. They'd rather give you the book, and especially when you came from
exactly.
a religious community. So that's
oh,
what
God,
made
yes.
it so much harder when you really don't understand, you know, about sexuality and about human mm-hmm. nature, you know, because a lot of times with religion you really are, you know, protected from that, because being a nice girl, you're not supposed to be doing those kinds of things, right?
Exactly, and a lot of times that sets you up, because it's like sex becomes this anomaly, you know. Your body is telling you yes, but, you know, the fire and brimstone creatures are saying not just no, but hell no, you know. And so it makes you really afraid to explore, and you end up living your life in a box, and you don't know quite how to handle it. You're not comfortable with your sexuality. You're not comfortable with your body, and you're darn sure ain't comfortable with men. So it's like you said, it sets you up for a whole lot of problems.
And I know that in my book about the gay husband checklist, you know, I do write the prototype of a woman that gay men look for, and one of them are women who come from religious backgrounds, because
mm-hmm.
when they're looking for a mate, they're looking for someone who's not experienced and someone
right.
who will not recognize that there's something wrong in the situation. And I was really amazed to see how many women we have in our group who have husbands who are part of the ministry.
Yeah,
either,
that's
you know,
it.
Pastors or their
yeah.
other positions within the church, music directors, choir directors.
Yeah. It's so scary.
Isn't it?
Because we're told not to be unequally yoked. And many times the way that is explained to us is you need to find somebody who's in the church like you. So you look for somebody that's in the church like you, and then everybody's like, oh, we're so glad. Oh, this is a God thing. This is a God thing. Then you get him home, and before you can barely unwrap him, you realize, oh, my God. Ooh, you don't even love women. So, you know, and I'm not trying to say that's all church men, because there are some men in church who are very wonderful people. But the sad
right.
thing about it is there are those, just to be completely honest, there are those in ministry and in music and in positions of authority that are suspects.
And with good reason.
And with good reason.
Because in many cases they happen to be gay. And I have
yeah.
men who write to me all the time for help in coming out to their wives. And the saddest letters I get are the ones from men who are in the ministry who say, you know, I've been living this life. It's a matter that if I tell the truth, it's not just about losing my marriage. It's about my congregation. It's about having no more community to go to. So they really rather live a lie, you know, and
yeah.
it's really sad that, you know, I think that when you're in the church representing God, that's a bit, really big lie to live with, I would think. You know, I know
yeah,
that I'm a Christian,
yeah.
but I would think that that's the kind of lie that you don't want to have in church.
It goes against everything that Christianity stands for.
Well, that's the
you
whole
know?
Point.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to mislead
yeah.
your wife and to make her feel as if she's the one who has the problems, not you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they call it love. Well, I don't want to hurt my wife because I love her. What do you think of that when people say that?
I think it's one of the worst forms of cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think when you really, you know, you might tell yourself you don't want to hurt that person because you love them. But then when you think about what it's doing to them, it's just as bad by it as, you know how you see or you hear of the person who is being poisoned slowly by somebody they love, and they don't even know that person's trying to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost that same thing. Even though your intentions may not be to harm me, you are still feeding me poison while stroking my forehead and telling me you love me. But you're feeding me poison.
That is really a good way to analyze it, Suzette. I hadn't thought about it like that before, but that's really a good way to look at it, right?
Yeah, because that's exactly the way it is. It's like, you know, you're the person that's telling me you love me, you care about me, you don't want to hurt me, but yet your lies are like feeding me poison, and you're watching. And the thing about it, though you say you don't want to hurt me, you are watching me second-guess myself. You're watching me being hard on myself. You realize that my anxiety and my depression and my issues are something that you're causing, or you're so dismissed, so, you know, isolated from so far in denial that you don't even realize that you're the problem.
And how about the men who sit and they blame the women for being the ones who are the problem? Because
exactly.
It's easier to blame someone else than to accept responsibility for what you're doing.
Yeah, because I remember my ex saying to me, there was one night that I was having a severe anxiety attack because he had not touched me in months, and I was talking to him because we had gotten married a second time, and I was telling him the same thing was happening again. And he was saying, no, it's not happening, Suzette. It's not happening. I said, yes, it is. I said, you're doing the same thing you did the first time, and you told me that you were basically cured, and you're doing the same thing. And he's like, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. I said, because you're sitting over there arguing with me that you're not, and I'm falling apart, and you have not reached out to touch me at all. I'm over here falling apart, and you are keeping a safe distance. You're not touching me. You're giving me words, and you see me about to fall apart. And then he went to the other extreme of saying, Suzette, you know, you're stronger than this. You're stronger than this. Nope, you shouldn't give any man this kind of power to reduce you to this just because he won't touch you, just because he won't kiss you. And it became this insanity. This absolute insanity. So, you know, it is very difficult. It's very, very difficult. And it's why I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing to lift this denial. Because no one wins. No one wins in this.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's a loser.
Everyone's a loser.
The man never has the quality of life that he should have. But he still has that choice where the woman doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah, I think she senses it. That's the problem that makes it so tormentous and so cruel is I think all of us women have a very, what I call it, a spidey sense that starts tingling.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where we come from. We know when something is off. We know when there's a shift in the force. We might not know what's causing it, but we know when something is not up, when something is just not right. And it's very tormenting to know something is not right with your spouse, but to not have the facts to go with it. It can drive you almost crazy.
And I think that's why so many of our women live in a state of depression.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what's going on. And, of
exactly.
course, you know, they get denials from their husbands. Now, let me ask you
exactly.
this. With your ex, was he ever able to come to terms with himself or not?
No.
Did he remarry?
Like I said, no. The last conversation, he was leaning more towards down low. I actually saw him the first time since my son went to college, and that was, my son went to college back in 2008. And this mm-hmm. was the first time, actually, since 2008 that I've seen him. And it was at my mm-hmm. son's wedding, our son's wedding. And to look at him and to see how much he's deteriorated, it really was very, very sad. Because remember, he has this condition that led to him having both his legs amputated. And this was the first time that I had seen him in his wheelchair with no legs. And so, and evidently the kind of medications they have him on and all that had really disfigured him and bloated him. And it was really so very sad to see him in that condition. But we didn't talk, of course we didn't talk about any of that.
Right, it wasn't an appropriate time.
And so I didn't see anything that would tell me differently. I think the person that was with him was more like an assisted living type of person, not a mate or a partner or anything like mm-hmm. that. So I could not, you know, I don't know. All I know is what he was saying the last time I saw him, which, like I said, he seems to be more towards that end of the spectrum. There were some little cues that let me know that he still had some of the same inclinations when it came to certain things. But, you know, the subtle things, like mm-hmm. making remarks, little remarks like things like I was wearing the dress I wore to the wedding, and he's like, you look nice. And I said, thank you. He said, it's different. You know, it's different, but it's nice. You see, things like that. You know, little sort of backhanded, you know, types of things. But
was this the first time you met your husband?
Yes, and I must say, it only made me love Robert more. His graciousness, his warmth. I'm married to an extraordinary man, an absolutely extraordinary man.
Oh, well, guess what? He's married to a really extraordinary woman.
Thank you. You know, I wear my cape inside my clothes. Most people don't see it because I have to wear my little cape inside. But anyway,
I see that big S. Some people think it stands for Suzette. I say it stands for Superwoman, or maybe Super Suzette. How's that?
Super Suzette. I love it.
So, Suzette, because you are a life coach and because you spend so much time really coaching people in the right direction to pick up their life and move in, you know, and you're really so helpful between your books, and you have a number of books that are out that are available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or on your own website, but also you do personal life coaching. So there's a few questions I'd like for you to discuss for tonight. Because let's go back to a time when, after your marriage and before you met Robert, there was a period of time where you were kind of on your own with your son. And if you mm-hmm. can think back to when, you know, you finally were on your own, when the marriage was finally over, a lot of women are going through those holiday blues because it's the beginning of a time that we know holidays to be for families, you know, holidays are for love. And here women are just finding out, or it's their first Christmas on their own, or they're still living with a gay man, always wondering when the shoe's going to fall, never knowing when he's going out, what's going to happen. So as a coach, I'd like for you to see if you can come up with some good ideas, let's say for women who are now on their own, as far as maybe creating some new traditions.
Yes. One of the main ones that I talk about, and it's not even a shameless plug because I really believe in it and I am a product of it, is to not feel like you got to tough it out alone. you know, true, there is family. True, there are your friends. But let's face it, if they have never been married or involved with somebody gay, they have no clue to the kind of loneliness you feel and the depth of it. They have no clue. So being around them is a two-edged sword. Being around them is wonderful into that family, and, you know, they love you. But then on the other side of it can feel very isolating. It can make you feel so odd, so weird, so strange because they don't understand your reactions, your depth of reaction over things that they think are small. You know, they should, you know, they want to kind of help you to, you know, will feel better, and they want to kind of pump you up like it's a bad mood. Come on, let's, you know, they want to try to help you to avoid it. And sometimes, well, most times, let's be for real, that's the worst thing. And you come back home after it's over feeling worse instead of better. And that was my experience. The best thing that you can do during this time is to reach out to someone who understands, whether that's reaching out to Bonnie or reaching out to a coach, someone professional who can really help you walk through your feelings without you feeling like you've got to avoid it, without you feeling like you've got to kind of, like everything is okay, psych yourself up, because that doesn't help it. It really doesn't help it. But having somebody that you can really just breathe with, even if that breathing is shallow or is crying or is cussing, you know, whatever, that you don't have to be the strong one for your children. You know, you can take that strong veneer off and just be. And you know they get you. You know they get you. That would be the first thing, the numero uno, first thing, best gift you can give yourself. Because the truth of the matter is you can't avoid it. You can't. It's just like no matter where you go, if you go shopping, you see couples and you see gifts for the man in your life and you see diamonds. I mean, it's nowhere you can go. Because this whole season is about family and love, and you can't cut on the television. I mean, the Hallmark Channel, anything. It's all about that. I mean, you really can't. And so the best thing to do is instead of running away from it, running away from your pain, is to walk toward it with the help of somebody who understands and care. That's the first thing that I would recommend.
And I think that's good advice, that, you know, don't isolate yourself. Don't feel like people are going to understand you, because they're not.
They're not.
And unless you've lived this experience, people are always thinking, well, it happened last year, or it happened 6 months ago. Why are you still so upset about it? Or they'll say, well,
it happened 5 years, or it happened 5 years, or it happened 10 years, you know?
Yeah, well, then they're not even saying that. Then they're just saying you're ridiculous. You know, they have no clue on the pain that this brings forth. So they can't understand
and
why.
Layers.
The layers of everything you have to keep going through. And especially if you have children, it's not like it's just over.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to deal with this situation for years to come because, you know, the child has a father. And it may really hurt like hell when you
feel that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first time you're going to see your husband with another man or your ex-husband, it's going to really hurt. It has to. No matter how much you say, I'm over with it, and I'm glad he's not here anymore, and you think it's not going to affect you, it does. Don't you think so?
It does. Oh, God, yes. Or you see him with another woman.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Oh.
That's even worse sometimes.
Isn't that the most ridiculous? That's the ridiculous thing. It's almost like it's bad enough to sin with another man. But to know what you went through with this guy, and he is so into protecting his the PR that you provided him, that he ends up bringing another unsuspecting woman into it. Woo! That's tough. That's a tough one, too.
It is. And I really feel most sorry for women in that situation where their gay husbands have now started dating another woman. And it happens so many times for those guys who are the straight gay men. You know, they're straight emotionally or mentally, or they want people to think they are, and yet they're really not. But the point is that they're not, but, you know, they'll go and date other women. And I think the women struggle more with that than with the men.
Indeed.
Because in their hearts they're thinking, well, maybe I was wrong, or maybe I wasn't woman enough for him. How is it that, you know, another woman he's fine with and he wasn't fine with me? And I explained to the women that, guess what? He's the same with her as he is with you. It's not going to be any difference at all. Right? These guys don't change.
Right. It's almost like, you know, and it's even worse if you have children together with this person and she comes around almost because you know what he's probably told her about you, and she's looking at you like you are the worst thing. How could you have done this to him when he's a good man and he's my husband and la, 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 la. But then the sad part about it, Bonnie, which we know, ultimately you're going to see that same look in her eyes that you know oh so well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to
exactly.
know she is going through hell on steroids.
And that's why I always tell women that if you can get the message through to her, let her know. Let her know that this is going to be happening. You know, and I know a lot of women feel very torn because they say, well, she's never going to believe me. And she may not, because, you know, your ex may have warned her ahead of time. She says horrible things about me. She'll tell you that I'm gay. And you know I'm not gay, right? You know, so why would I be going with another woman? I have children. Or he'll make up all kinds of stories, and so they don't feel they're going to be believed anyway. So my point is that you know, if you feel that you can't do it and you want to let her know, just let me know. And I'll send her a book, or two, or three, whatever it takes.
Send
and she
all
won't know
of
how she got money. It, but I've done that for a number
send
of women.
Send her all of them to
them. Huh?
I said send her all of them. Every one of them. Because at some point...
Yeah, she'll never know where they came from, but... But guess what? Yeah. Sometimes, you know, at least they know when something goes wrong, that... Maybe it's not me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I shouldn't be worried about, you know, I should be worried about this. So I think it's a good thing if you do it. I mean, you got to let her know. I think women have to stick together. And then at least when things are falling apart, she's going to realize what the problem is, that it's not her, right?
Indeed. And the next thing that I would suggest to women, too, would be Be kind to yourself. Because many times we internalize the abuse and neglect that we've received over the years while in our ex, you know, in those marriages and all that. We end up, the sad thing about it is we leave geographically, but we internalize the abuse and the neglect. And the second thing that I would say to women during this holiday season is be kind to yourself. Be to yourself the way you would be to another woman who just went through what you went through. Because, you know, many times we're kinder to other people than we are to ourselves. If it was somebody else, we'd say, girl, I understand. Oh my God, I admire you. How could you know? You came through this. All these different things we would say to somebody else if they came and said some of the things about themselves that we say about ourselves, we would be the kindest, most gentle, caring people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to turn that same friendship and care and love toward ourselves during this time. So what if it's been 10 years? So what if it's been 20 years? So what? If you're hurting, you're hurting. Be kind to yourself.
And I think that some of our women really feel guilty when they are kind to themselves, thinking that, you know, why am I thinking of myself first? You know, you have to love yourself first. Because if you don't, then you're doomed to repeat this mistake again, and it doesn't have to be with a gay man, but it will be with some predator who's looking for a kind, nurturing, unselfish woman like you who they can use and take advantage of. You know, you're a prime victim and prime picking for the narcissist, the sociopath, you know, for men with all kinds of issues. You know, I'm not saying that to be gay you have to be a narcissist or borderline personality. But I'm saying that there are a lot of men out there who are those personalities who are straight, and they're looking for you also. So you have to put yourself in a position not to be found again for that, right?
Indeed. And sometimes we need help. I know in my case, thank God for books, because reading books that were empowering and that talked about authenticity, and all those types of being your best self and all those types of things that really it's almost like remapping your mind, body, and heart to a harmonious place instead of them being at war with each other. So books that are motivational and inspirational and affirming and life-giving. You know, I kind of ate that. I told you I spent so much of my time in the self-help psychology part of the library. So, you know, they almost needed to give me a job because I was taking out 6 and 7 books at a time. I was reading everything I could that would help me to reconnect with my own soul, with my own usefulness, with my own sense of integrity, you know. And so sometimes that's what you have to do before it kicks in. Because really what you feed yourself really does kick in after a while. And so even if it's taking that step, that tiny step in the right direction, that goes a long way toward reinventing yourself in a loving way, you know, so that you don't fall prey to predators and don't continue the insanity that you just left.
And self-growth is really difficult. You know, nobody's saying that it's going to be easy because it's not. But you have to do it in order to get to the end of the road so that you can find the happiness you're looking for, right?
Indeed, it was somebody that said, when somebody said something was hard, they said, when was something being hard a good enough reason not to do it?
Yeah, you know, that's true, right?
Yeah, it's going to be hard, but guess what? Hard is built into the fabric of being alive. Hard was what you dealt with living with a person like that. So hard is not something that's foreign to you. It's a decision that you make that if I am going to deal with pain, I would rather it be the pain of growth than the pain of staying stuck.
That is such a beautiful way to put it. You're going to be in pain either way, but one way you're going to come out of the pain and move ahead. The other way, you're going to be stuck in the pain and never move anywhere but continue to be in pain, right?
Exactly. So if I'm gonna be in pain in it anyway, I'm gonna choose to be in pain of growing forward, of moving forward.
Mm-hmm. It's a really wonderful way to look at it. At least you're moving.
At least you're moving.
Because I think part of the problem is when we feel so stuck that there's no way out. And, you know, when we finally find our way out, you know, I know that it's a hard battle. And I know it doesn't happen overnight. And I always tell women I'm happy to work with anyone who wants to move ahead. I can't work with women who want to just stay where they are. But if they want to move ahead, you know, step by step, I know it's going to be hard. And that's when you need support along the way. But if you don't take that chance, you have no chance at happiness in your future. If you would have stayed in your marriage, you know, you would still be stuck having a horrible time in life. And just like I did, I had to save myself too. And I, you know, I'm going to be celebrating January 5th with my boyfriend 22 years.
Yay.
And more in love now than ever. I mean, you know, like
yay.
I say, I'm more. I know it's a long time. We're both really old now. But my point is that, you know, I would have never had these wonderful years if I would have stayed in a horrible marriage. And so who would have been winning? Would I have won anything? I would have lost everything. I would have had no chance to find this kind of love and happiness, right?
That is so true. It is so very, very true. Because when you were saying, if I hadn't left Bonnie, I really think I would have, really, I think I would have died. I do. I don't mean,
I believe you.
I don't mean, you know, somebody physically killing me, but you may as well have. I literally felt my very life force slipping away from me if I had stayed in that relationship.
And it's really true. I know that for myself.
I have no doubt.
I wanted to die. I mean, I don't mean to seem like I'm overreacting, but I just didn't see any escape. And I felt like if I have to live every day like this with someone who is abusive to me, not that he was physically abusive, but emotionally and mentally abusive, and making me feel like I'm worthless, I started to just to act like I was worthless and I had no worth. And I would have never been, you know, I was just getting further down. I don't know if I would have ever gotten up, because once you beat someone down enough, chances are they won't get up. That's why I tell women, take your time. You know, as long as you have a game plan, there's not a contest to get to where you have to go. If it takes you a year, 5 years, 8 years, as long as you're going somewhere. And as long as your mind is free, because I really do believe that you cannot be physically free until you're emotionally free. You have to first emotionally free yourself. Is that true?
Yeah, it's a song that says, free your mind. What is that song about, Imbo? Free your mind and the rest will follow. Of course, they say be colorblind, don't be so shallow. But I mean that free your mind and the rest will follow. It's like you've got to free your mind. It starts in your mind. It starts
and you
in
have
your
to
mind.
Believe that it can happen. I know that sometimes women give up and they lose hope. You know, they just think there's no way out. And I used to feel that way, too. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that. I mean, I really started fantasizing about how I could put sugar in his gas tank and have the car have an accident. And I'm not kidding. I was doing that.
I believe you. Because I had visions of me. My ex was in a wheelchair, and I had fantasies of me pushing him down. And saying, how do you like me now? Let me see you get up. Let me see you get up. You're not so tough now, are you? You're not so tough now, are you? There were times that he would be so snide and condescending and backhanded that I just literally, it took everything in me not to make good on it. People can push you to that point, and that's why it's best if there's any way out, take it. Don't stay in a situation that's going to either cause you to implode and lose yourself, or you do something crazy, some crime of passion that steals your life from you. It's better to leave.
And one thing is never stay there because you think it's better for the children, right?
Oh, my God. What is it that says it's better to be from a broken home than to live in one?
Mm-hmm. Because people think they're, you know, I'm giving my children a home life. At least they'll have a stable home life to look back on. How do you feel about that?
Honey, child, no. Because the thing about it is, you know, we minimize the effect of what our kids don't see. A lot of times we think, well, if our kids don't know it, then it's not going to harm them. But they're living in a lie. And truly, you and I both know it's going to manifest in some way. It's going to manifest. And it's better, I told myself when I was really trying to figure out whether to go or stay, you know, whether it was going to be worse for my child, and I felt so guilty that I married my ex a second time and put my child in this union, and I was trying to figure out a way to stay for his sake, and, you know, all this different stuff. And the thing about it is, you know, you have to weigh it out. Are you going to, any time a relationship between a husband and wife ends, it affects the children. It does. It can't be avoided. But the thing that makes it worse, and I had to count it up, I said, well, you know what? If I leave, my son might end up with 5 issues. But if I stay, my son's going to end up with 10 issues. I'll take the 5 issues. Because for some of us, sure, our children are going to suffer. Sure, it's going to affect them. But I'd much rather leave and have less issues than to stay and he end up with more issues.
And I think that's really the case, because children feel the tension, they feel the nervousness, they feel the anxiety. And for those women, and God bless them, they say, you know, my kids don't know, I keep it a secret. Come on, let's be for real. Do you think your child doesn't know when you're unhappy? Do you think you really hide that? They don't hear you crying, or they don't see you taking medication to knock yourself out so you don't have to deal with it? Do you think children don't know this? Right?
They know. They know, and sad, because we think 2 unhappy parents is better than 1 happy parent. What sense does that make? If you stay in a relationship, the child grows up with 2 unhappy parents. If you leave the relationship, it increases the likelihood that the child might just end up with 1 happy parent to live with, instead of 2 unhappy ones to live with. And not saying that the father won't be there, but the parent that the child lives with needs to be happy, needs to be able to have some kind of life, some kind of peace. They need that. And so, you know, and I know it's
And they could even end up with 2 happy parents that are not together, right?
Exactly. Because I think the kids can recover quicker with that than staying in misery, because what you teach them is to tolerate misery. And that child may not marry a gay man, but they will have a very high tolerance for misery.
Well, it's not only that, but
trying to keep them from.
You know, they say, you know, I used to have a woman in our group, and I wrote about her in one of the books, or she wrote a story in one, I think maybe Straight Wives, Part 1. You know, you are your children. You are the legacy for your children. So, in other words, she stayed in a relationship where she was being physically abused, and that became the norm for her daughter to see her get hit. So when her daughter met somebody who was just the same, she stayed also because she thought, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. My mother stays with that. Why wouldn't I? And that's when her mother realized she had to leave that relationship. She said, how could I tell her to leave it when I was living it? And she was looking at me and saying, well, why should I leave it? You go through that. How can I leave it? So she did leave. And her daughter left also after she left. But it was wonderful because she did find her true love also. She found her soulmate and got married again. And she said if she wouldn't have left, she would have never had that chance to find someone. And I would like to tell women, you know, just to be really clear, not everybody's looking for another soulmate or for another partner. Yeah. We have women in this group who never dated or got married again, but they're extremely happy because they have their own life back. They have friends. You know, they don't need a man to feel complete, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they're happy being on their own. So the point is that you don't have to be with somebody, right?
Exactly. The greatest gift is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest gift, because without you, there can't be the kind of love that, you know, we all want. There can't be that. And like you said, even if they don't want to have another partner, ain't nothing wrong with that. My thing is, the thing that I think we both are stressing here is the prize is you. You're the prize. So if you can leave and get you back, get you whole, get you back to happy, or heal your heart or resolve the issues that caused you to be attracted to someone that could not love you, then you have already won.
Uh-huh.
And that's regardless of whether you ever get married or ever, you know, find Mr. Right or Mr. Wonderful or Mr. Whatever. The prize is you. You are worth it. Your peace of mind, you are worth it. Your contribution, you are the one that's worth it. Let's get you back.
And I think that's the whole point, and that's why having a coach along your way is so important. And Suzette is like the finest life coach that you can ever imagine, because I've spoken with other people whose lives she's changed, and it's really important to realize that the coach is there to give you direction, to start you from where you are to move ahead. You know, she's not there to go back in 20 years ago or 30 years ago to see what made you do the things you do. She's there to start with you now, so that when you're moving ahead, you're not repeating the same mistakes, to show you, you know, some of the downfalls of, you know, choices that you make, to discuss them with you, you know, and maybe why it's not working out the way you think, so that you'll have better, you know, better times in your future, not making the same mistakes over and over. And sometimes we just don't know how to do it. So having a coach can make a very big difference, right?
Oh, yes, it can help us to stop walking around in circles, wondering why we keep, you know, walking around in circles. And having a coach will take you out of that cycle and that pattern. And he'll point it out and say, wait a minute, no, we're going forward. This is forward. No, you're going to the left. No, this is forward. No, you're going to the right. No, this is forward. And it kind of helps keep you moving forward, and to be able to help you when you're swinging to different extremes, or when you're saying one thing with your mouth, but your actions are sabotaging it. A coach is able to really be that voice, be that gauge, be that mirror, be that accountability to help you move from where you are to where you want to go. And I'm telling you from personal experience, I think the reason why I am the coach that I am is because I was coached.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the fruit of some really great coaching.
Mm-hmm. And that's why having a coach to help you guide the way, you know, that's going to be your Christmas present to yourself. If you're looking to buy yourself something, buy yourself a few hours of coaching so that you can at least get your life turned around and, you know, started in the right direction. So we are going to give you Suzette's website, even though you may have to get a pencil first so you can write it down.
But you are so funny.
And if you can't get it, then you can go to my website at gayhusbands.com and go to my links and just click into her that way. But you can give them, spell it out for them, Suzette.
I shall. It is www.suzettevernon.com. That's S-U-Z as in zebra, E, T as in Tom, E, V as in victory, E-A-R, N as in Nancy, O-N as in Nancy, .com. That's just me.
Yes, that's you, Suzette. Yes. The best coach that anybody could ask for. They just have to be able to find you. But that's all right. If you couldn't get it all at once, you can write to me or look on my website and just click into her link. Suzette, do you have any big plans for the Christmas holidays? Are you cooking?
Oh gosh. I might cook a little something, something. I've got my restaurants lined up because I'm the kind of cook that I have my special dishes, but I believe in supplementing and supporting the local people around me that cook slamming collards and wonderful cabbage. And, you know, I just believe in pulling it all together. You know, I'm just that equal opportunity Christmas dinner kind of girl. But I am looking forward to it. It'll be my 1 year wedding anniversary. It's coming
up.
That's
so exciting, right?
Yeah, and so I'll be celebrating a birthday, my 56th birthday, and my wedding anniversary on the same day. So I'm really thrilled about that. And then, too, for those of you who would like to, either order one of my books for yourself or give it as a gift to someone that you love, I am offering free shipping and delivery in time for Christmas to anyone who orders up until December 21st. So,
and that's a steal of a deal because these books will inspire you. And once again, you'll just really love them. You know, like, they really are very inspirational to me when I'm feeling that I need to read something to inspire me. I pick up a Suzette book, and it's very inspiring.
Funny. Thank you.
Well, it's a treat.
Thank you.
I just want to mention the guest that we're having next week for people who are listening who's really an important, you know, guest to have, and I'm glad she's coming on our show. I don't know if you're familiar with her. Her name is Joyce Short. And Joyce has a whole movement in New Jersey on, you know, it's about stopping abuse by deceit, stop rape by fraud, and including, you know, when you have someone who's married to you, who marries you under fraudulent terms, that she's been fighting this in New Jersey and making some really good progress and how it would affect the women who are in our situation. So Joyce will be our guest next week. And then beginning of the year, we're going to be going back to Sunday night shows, so letting everybody know in advance. And also, I have an extra show from last night. I did a special show with Tara Helfgott about looking for Mr. Straight and about her book and about different signs and symptoms. Tara's a wonderful young woman who has written this book. So we have lots of stuff going on, lots of listening for you to do. Suzette, I can't wait till you come back to start the new year off with us.
I know, yay!
I know. So by that time, hopefully you'll tell us all about your holiday celebrations. So to all of our listeners, we're going to say good night and that we love you. Suzette, I love you. Thank you so much for doing this every month.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It really is.
The S stands for Super Inspire. Remember that.
Oh, I will.
That's you, super inspirational. All right, sweetie, I love you, and good night to all of our listeners.
I love you too, Bonnie. Good night, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.